Verse number 26 of Acts chapter number 8.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto
Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And a eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We're going to talk to you this morning about the salvation of the Ethiopian here. You will pray with me and for me, Father, please. Father, we come to thy throne of grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and kindness toward us, Father. And Father, we're nothing without thee. We pray, Father, for your help. May the Spirit of God please help us and direct our paths, our thoughts, and our words. Father, I pray that you'd apply these words to the hearers, and may it be a help and a blessing to them. Please help me, I pray, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a familiar story. It says in verse number 26 there, it says, The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He's called the angel of the Lord there. In another place, he's called the Spirit of God. But this is, I hope at least, a familiar spirit to most of you. The people in this story, the characters in this story, are number one, God, the Spirit of God, and number two, the evangelist Philip, and number three, there's a man there, there's an Ethiopian, he's a black man. He has been to Jerusalem, the Bible says, for to worship. And this portion of Scripture here may be one of the best Scriptures in the New Testament that shows a person how to be saved. I know most of y'all are saved here this morning, but there may be some who are not, and we need to learn about this. Philip was one of those men, along with Stephen, who was chosen as a deacon in the first church at Jerusalem. And same thing with Stephen, he began to preach after he was chosen as a deacon. He began to preach. If you remember, we studied about Stephen, and he was stoned because of the sermon that he preached to the unbelieving Jewish leaders. Whenever Stephen was murdered, the people of the church there at Jerusalem, they did not quit, but they actually increased. They increased, and the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word. You know, somebody gets murdered because they came to church or because they preached, well, that would shake things up a lot. But those people, they were so stirred up about the things of God that they didn't stop. And the Bible tells us here that this Philip, he's gone down to Samaria. It says in chapter 8 in verse number 5 that Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and there he preached Christ unto them. The place called Samaria, it was a city about 50 miles to the north or northwest of Jerusalem. And it was at one time, during the times of the kings, it was the capital of the northern 10 tribes. But now it's under Roman control. Jesus stopped there one time as he was preaching. He stopped there at a place called Jacob's Well. And he met a woman there we call the woman at the well. And that woman he led to the Lord. Philip was preaching there in this place called Samaria. He was having a lot of people saved. And man we talked about last week is called Simon the Sorcerer. He got saved there and he was baptized. And Philip was preaching there at that place called Samaria. This is a perfect example. This story is a perfect example of what we might call, or what I've called many times, a divine appointment. A divine appointment. Where either God himself meets someone, or God leads somebody else across the path of somebody. Someone who is looking or someone who is searching, God would lead someone across their path. It's a perfect example of that. Have you ever been led across somebody's path, or somebody ever been led across your path? That's happened to me. That's happened to me many times. I would call it a divine appointment or a divine encounter with God. And sometimes people are changed. They're never the same anymore after they have an encounter with God. You got to meet God. You got to meet God. Christianity is not just, words and letters on a piece of paper. It's a heart thing. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And people have to meet God. In Exodus chapter number 3, Moses had run away from Egypt, and he had been out in the backside of the desert for 40 years, and he was a shepherd. But God had something for him, and God met Moses. It was a divine appointment. God met Moses out there in the desert by Mount Sinai, and he met him there in a burning bush, and Moses was never the same after that. Moses resisted the call of God, but God had something for Moses. God, number one, God wanted Moses to know him, and God wants people to know him. But Moses met God there, and he was never the same. God wanted to use Moses, and God wanted to make a better man out of Moses, you see. So Moses had a divine encounter with God, and he became one of the great men of the Bible, possibly one of the greatest men of the Bible, but he had a divine encounter with God there. In John chapter number 4 that I just told you about, Jesus was preaching through a place called Samaria. And he stopped there at a little city called Sychar. He sat down on the well, and there was a woman that came out, and she began to talk to him. And Jesus had just said, I must needs go through Samaria. He said, I have an appointment there. And he went and he talked to that woman, and that woman was saved there. Why? Because Jesus went through that place. He had a divine encounter with that woman. That woman was saved, and she was never the same. In Acts chapter number 9, the next chapter in the Bible here, there's a man by the name of Saul. And he's a troublemaker to all the Christians. He is not saved. He does not believe that this man called Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He doesn't believe that at all. But God, Jesus himself, on the road to Damascus, stopped him and appeared to him, and he was never the same. He had a divine encounter with God, you see. People need to meet God. People need to get to know God. And so God could have just left this man, this Ethiopian here. The Bible says he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was a Jewish proselyte, and he came there, and he's going back now. He's on his way back. He's on his way back to Ethiopia, and he's not saved. He didn't get saved while he was in Jerusalem. He didn't get saved while he was on the day of Pentecost. He didn't get saved in chapter 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 in the book of Acts. He's on his way back now, and he's still unsaved, but he's looking. He's got a book. He's got a Bible that he's carrying back with him, you see. And he's reading the thing. He's still looking. He's wondering. And God could have let that man go on. He could have let him go all the way back to Ethiopia. But God had a reason. God had a purpose for that man. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, shed his blood on the cross so that people might be saved, see? And so it's a perfect example here of a divine encounter. And it's also a perfect example of a man who is obedient. And he goes in the path that God wants him to go. and he leads a sinner to Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice some things right here in the story, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Number one, we'll notice in verse number 26, the Spirit's call. Look in verse number 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." That's the Spirit's call. I don't know if it was an audible voice or not. Maybe it was. I have never heard God's voice except on the pages of the Bible. I've never heard God's voice, and I don't think anybody else has either that's alive right now. But anyway, God can lead people in the way that he wants them to go. Many years ago, the right man came to my house. The right man came to my house on Sunday afternoon in June of 1970. God sent them. I have no doubt that God sent them. It was a divine appointment that they came to my house. So God can lead people in the right way. Many times I have talked to people, and it just so happened to be in the right place at the right time. A divine appointment. You ever had that happen to you? In Genesis chapter number 24, Abraham, he sent his servant, a man by the name of Eliezer. He sent him to get a bride for his son Isaac. He said, I don't want you marrying the women of Canaan here. And he sent his son to get a bride for his son Isaac. He sent his servant out. And Eliezer, the servant, he went there. It's a place called Padanaram. He went there and he found the girl and he prayed that God would lead him across the path of the right girl. And he did. He did. And he said this. The servant said this. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." I think I've got it marked here. Genesis chapter number 24 and verse number 26 and 27, it says, "The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." See? So he said, "I was in the way, and the Lord led me." He was in the right place, and God led him. See? You can just think about yourself. Think about yourself and how you got saved. Was that some kind of an accident that you got saved? Was that some kind of an accident that you were where you were? Was that some kind of an accident that somebody talked to you or somebody came by? Was that just an accident that you got saved? Or did God have something to do with it? Did God have a hand in it? So that's the Spirit's call, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God called Philip, and he said, "I want you to go over there, and I want you to talk to that man." Number two, there's the Spirit's obedience. In verse number 27, through 29, the servant's obedience. He says in verse number 27, "He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." That's the servant's obedience. The Bible says that Philip ran. He went over there and he began to talk to that. Philip was preaching in Samaria, and everything was going well. Everything was going well. But he left there to go to one man in the desert. The Bible says that a man's soul is worth more than the whole world. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and he were to lose his own soul? The servant was obedient. A lot of times, maybe God would like for us to do something, but nobody listens. Nobody pays attention. Philip went to that man of Ethiopia. He's an important man who left Ethiopia and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He's a Jewish proselyte who came to believe in Israel's God and that the Bible was true. And he came to Jerusalem looking and searching. But now he's leaving. He's unsaved and he's lost. Those people missed him on the day of Pentecost. They did not get him saved. So God is sending a special messenger. He's sending a man to the Ethiopian to take the gospel to him. So the servant, Philip, he was obedient, and he went there. And then number three, In verse number 30 and 31, the sinner is enlightened. He says in verse number 30, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said in verse number 31, he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So the sinner is enlightened. That's the Ethiopian. You see, folks, people have to understand the gospel. They have to understand the gospel. They have to believe the gospel. They have to accept Christ as their Savior. He has the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures, they tell about Jesus Christ. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." He was reading that from the book of Isaiah. So you see, people have to understand the gospel. The gospel is this: how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. Sometimes people, you know, they pray to be saved, but they don't believe the gospel. You don't want to pray without believing the gospel. You got to believe the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You got to believe the gospel. What would you think if somebody off over in Iraq or Iran, and they prayed to God and asked God to save them, take them to heaven when they die? Would they be saved? You don't get saved. You're not saved by just praying. You got to believe the gospel. If those people over there do not believe in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, they can pray all day and they're not saved. You got to believe the gospel. You must believe the gospel. Don't pray without believing the gospel. There are a lot of people in the Bible here, they didn't pray. A lot of people in the Bible didn't pray to be saved. You see, read all through the book of Acts. I'm not against praying, but you got to believe. You got to believe the gospel, see. People, they just run around and get people to pray without telling them the gospel. Just say this little prayer right here. You don't do that. You don't want to do that. You got to explain the gospel to them. Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and raised from the dead. You've got to explain that. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." They've got to understand that. They don't just pray. Don't just pray and say, just 1, 2, 3, say this prayer and you'll be in. No, you don't want to do that. Explain the gospel. Show them that they're a sinner, that they need to be saved, and that God wants them to be saved. And this man had to be enlightened. He says in verse number 31, he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" People need a little bit of help. Whenever I got saved, I needed somebody to come and confront me. I needed somebody to come and tell me something. I needed somebody to have enough guts to look me in the face and tell me something about the Lord, you see. And people have to have a little bit of help. They need to be guided. They need to be, you know, have the scripture explained to them. The Bible says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." People cannot understand the Bible unless God opens it up to them, you see. So the sinner has to be enlightened. People have to understand the gospel. If they do not understand, then they cannot be saved. They must understand the gospel. They must understand these things, you see. And so don't pray with somebody without them understanding the gospel. I've probably been guilty of that before myself. But I always spend 20 or 30 minutes talking to somebody, trying my best to get them to understand. Do you understand? Is this clear to you? Have I confused you? Are you confused about anything? No. Well, okay, would you like to be saved? You see, This man here, he's reading. He's setting up in his chariot. He's looking. He's searching. He's been to Jerusalem. He's heard preaching. He's heard things in Jerusalem. He's come all the way from Ethiopia. He's come all the way over there. Man, that's a long distance in a chariot. He's a wealthy man. He's not riding on a donkey. He's in a chariot. See, he's an important man. He's a treasure for the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he's come all that distance. He's gone over there. He's gone there to worship because he has come to believe that the God of Israel is the true God. And he's gone there, but now then he's going back and he's not saved yet. He may have heard of something about Jesus. He's sitting up there. He's stopped his chariot. He's opened the Bible to Isaiah chapter number 53. And he's looking and he's searching. Man, that's the kind of people that you want to meet. I want to meet somebody. I want to be saved. The fourth thing that I would notice in verse 32 to 35 is the scripture is preached. Verse number 32, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He's reading from Isaiah. He said, who's he talking about here? He's led as a sheep to the slaughter. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He's reading Isaiah chapter 53. He reads that and he says, who is he reading about? Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? Verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The scripture has to be preached. It must come from the Bible. The Bible gives the way of salvation. We don't just pull something out of thin air. We do not have a church council and decide what we're going to say. We don't do that. We go by the Bible. The Bible has to be opened. The Bible has to be preached. The scripture has to be preached. The seed of God has to be planted in their hearts, you see. The seed of the Word of God has to be planted in their hearts. And so the scripture is preached. It must come from the Bible. We don't just make up something. Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He's going around with a dark cloud over his head, see, until he gets saved. John chapter 5 and verse number 11, 12 and 13 says that God has given us the way of salvation. 1 John 5:11 says this, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Says in verse number 13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe. You see, God gave us the Bible. He gave us the Bible. The Bible gives assurance. The way of salvation is in the Bible. You don't just make up something. The scripture has to be preached. The Bible says there, Philip sat down with him and he preached unto him Jesus. And number 5, verse number 36 through 39, it says, where the sinner is saved. It says in verse number 36, and as they went on their way, this is after Philip preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He's gone on his way. He's heard the message, and they're going on their way, and they came to a place where there is water. He said, look here, here's water. Can I be baptized now? Verse number 37 says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Here is his confession of salvation. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Guess what? All of the new Bibles, the New International Version and all the rest of them, they all take that verse out of the Bible. The one verse that shows that the man put his faith in Jesus Christ is taken out of all the new Bibles. Philip said to the man, "If thou believest with all thine heart, then you may be baptized." Nobody gets saved in the baptistry. Nobody gets saved in the baptistry. But when you do get saved, then you can be baptized. I wonder about people who say they're saved, but they don't want to get baptized. What's the problem? Everybody in the Bible, anybody in the Bible who got saved, they're ready to get baptized after. Salvation is one thing. Baptism is something else. Salvation is not baptism, and baptism is not salvation. You get baptized because you are saved, not in order to get saved. So he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Yes, you can get baptized, but you have to believe. Do you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was saved. They got out of the chariot. The Bible says they went down, both of them, into the water, and he was baptized. There is no such thing in the Bible as sprinkling. There is no such thing in the Bible as pouring. There's no such thing in the Bible as touching people on the head with some water. It won't do any good if you touch people on the head or you sprinkle people. That is not, you've got to be buried in the water. It's a picture of the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. Down in the water and raised back up, covered over with water. It is a liquid burial. It is a symbol of the fact that you have trusted Jesus Christ and you are joining, that you have been joined unto him, you see. And so, I want that word. I'm trying to think of a word. It's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Figure. Okay, it's a figure. It's a figure of salvation. Figure of the death, the burial, and resurrection. I've showed you this many times, but if I take my picture out here, if I take my picture out here, driver's license, and I say, that's me. That's me. But that's not really me. That's just a picture. That's just a figure. That's what baptism is. It's just a figure. It's not the real thing. Your sins are not on your skin, where you go in the baptistry and you wash your sins away, and then they go down the drain. That's not the way it is. Being saved is on the inside. You got to be regenerated on the inside. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's a washing on the inside. If you're not washed on the inside, it doesn't matter if you get washed on the outside.
That's right.
You can do all the washing and the scrubbing on the outside, and it's nice to be clean. But that's not salvation, you see. That's not salvation. You got to be washed, and you got to be regenerated on the inside. Your heart has got to be regenerated. There's got to be new life there, you see. And so they went down both into the water. There's churches all over the country. They sprinkle babies. Now see, we got a precious little baby here. Got another one back here, see. The babies, you can bring them up here and we can sprinkle water on them. Won't do a bit of good. Just makes them wet. That's all it does. Just makes them wet. They're just a wet baby, see. Wah, wah. They're a wet baby. It won't help any. It doesn't save them. It does not regenerate them. Does not regenerate them. They're safe though. They're safe though. You know, I'm just using an example. God forbid that anything should happen to one of the babies. But if a little baby perishes, dies, or something like that, they're innocent. I don't care who says little babies go to hell. They don't. If somebody says, well, they've got to be one of the elect, they're crazy. They're crazy. Little babies are innocent. There is no sin charged to children. There's no sin charged to babies. They are innocent, you see. Sprinkling babies is not scriptural. There's nothing in the Bible about those kinds of things. They went down both into the water, the Bible says, And he buried him in the water. He went on his way. He went on his way. He went somewhere else. That Ethiopian, you know where he went? He went back down to Ethiopia, and he carried the gospel down there. And the country of Ethiopia was open to the gospel for a couple of thousand years, up until 1970 that I read. Why? Because that Ethiopian went down there and he took the gospel with him down to Ethiopia. And so that's the salvation of the Ethiopian. He was saved there, and then he was baptized. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please.